Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Johnny and Jane are marching home from the Persian Gulf, but for many of them, it will take time.
When I heard I was going, it was like, I don't believe it. I've been here for 7 months. I still expected about 2 more months, and they said, you're going home.
Great to be getting out of this country.
Ready to have a shower. 7 months is a long time in the desert. Got a son that I've only seen twice, so I'm anxious to see him.
President Bush announced last night that elements of the 24th Mechanized Infantry Division are already headed back. By this time next week, some 14,000 troops of various units should be home. Mr. Bush addressed Congress and the nation last night to hail the victory over Iraq.
As president, I can report to the nation, aggression is defeated, the war is over.
This is Rob Armstrong on Capitol Hill. The speech was brimming with pride and patriotism. The members of the House and Senate eagerly applauded the president, the U.S. commanders, and the troops in the Gulf. Mr. Bush used the speech to paint the future with broad brushstrokes. He said the liberation of Kuwait is not the last step toward permanent peace in the Middle East.
We must do all that we can to close the gap between Israel and the Arab states and between Israelis and Palestinians. The tactics of terror lead absolutely nowhere. There can be no substitute for diplomacy.
On domestic issues, Mr. Bush urged Congress to muster the same sense of urgency that won the war.
Tonight, I call on the Congress to move forward aggressively on our domestic front. Let's begin with two initiatives we should be able to agree on quickly, transportation and crime.
There was no official Democratic response after the speech, but Republicans such as House GOP leader Robert Michael were simply beaming.
I think I counted 22 applauses with 11 standing ovations. Now that's a pretty that's a pretty good expression on the part of the Congress.
The most prolonged applause of the evening came when Mr. Bush announced that within hours of his speech, the first American military units from Saudi Arabia would be heading for home. It's just the beginning of a steady flow, he said. Rob Armstrong, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Secretary of State Baker is heading for the Middle East today. He will make his first official stop in Israel. Tom Fenton reports on Israeli reaction to the Bush peace initiative.
The president's pledge to forge ahead with a new peace initiative was not welcome news for the Israeli government, but it was not unexpected. The prime minister's spokesman, Avi Posner, made an effort not to sound negative.
We are pleased that such an emphasis is being given to the peace process.
Israel's present government, the most hardline in its history, has flatly rejected any land for peace deal. The most it appears ready to offer is some form of local autonomy for the Palestinians of the occupied territories. The Palestinians are more upbeat about the president's initiative. Daoud Kutab is a West Bank journalist.
President Bush's words about territory for peace is fine and well among Palestinians if they are followed up by concrete, decisive action.
Secretary Baker's visit here next week will be a major challenge for a government that seems unable to compromise and the Palestinians who remain skeptical of America's intentions. Tom Fenton, CBS News, Tel Aviv.
This is Doug Tinnell in Amman. There is much in President Bush's speech for Jordanians and Palestinians here to ponder. His call for a comprehensive peace based on UN resolutions 242 and 338, and the president's strong support for the principle of exchanging territory for peace. In a kingdom that lost the West Bank to Israel in 1967, territory is still very much a key word when it comes to the language of diplomacy here. And since more than 60% of Jordan's population is Palestinian, the president's acknowledgement of the legitimate Palestinian political rights speaks directly to most people in this kingdom. People are already talking favorably about the president's speech today, but the U.S. outline for solving the Palestine question reportedly differs from Jordan's official policy on one key point. Who speaks for the Palestinians? It is front page news in Jordanian newspapers again today that Jordan considers the PLO the sole legitimate representative of the Palestinians. In short, others may consider Yasser Arafat to be discredited now, but officially not King Hussein, not here. Doug Tinnell, CBS News, Amman.
It's coming up on 5 minutes past seven. Thomas Pazer, an official of the International Committee of the Red Cross, says Iraq will hand over more than 20 of some 36 journalists missing since Sunday and up to 2,000 Kuwaitis taken by fleeing Iraqi troops.
We will register all the people there, and then we'll organize the transfer. It will be, the handover will be done somewhere on the border in the area. I don't know where yet.
Tomorrow, is perhaps?
I think, no, not likely today. I think it's more likely tomorrow.
However, ICRC headquarters in Geneva won't confirm that. More from CBS News correspondent David Jackson in Tehran.
The issue of the missing Western journalists and Kuwaiti civilians was brought up at a meeting between a low-level Iraqi military delegation and Allied commanders in Saudi Arabia. It's part of the ongoing process of nailing down a formal end to the Persian Gulf War. As well, there is the question of how and when to return to Iraq the 60,000-plus prisoners taken by Allied forces during the lightning 100-hour battle. Western news organizations whose people are unaccounted for requested an informal informational session with the Iraqi delegation, but they were turned down. David Jackson, CBS News, Tehran, Saudi Arabia.
The CBS News camera team, Chris Everson and Tim Dickey, is now reported safe with U.S. forces in Iraq after they were robbed by Iraqi troops of their car and camera gear. Private Clayton Carpenter is in a Denver Army hospital for treatment of war wounds. The military mistakenly notified his family in Humboldt, Kansas, he had been killed by an Iraqi landmine. Carpenter had trouble convincing mom it just wasn't true.
Then I called my mom, and she hadn't been notified yet that I was still alive, and she wouldn't believe it was me. I could not convince her that it was me. It took about half an hour to convince her it was me.
But it was. It's 7 minutes past seven. One person is reported dead, others injured in anti-government violence last night in Tirana, Albania. Thousands of starving Albanian refugees arrived in Brindisi, Italy today, some of them fighting over milk and biscuits at a dockside shelter. The black man videotaped being kicked and beaten by a group of white Los Angeles policemen has given his side of Sunday's incident. Jerry Bowen has that.
25-year-old Rodney King showed his injuries to reporters last night, the bruises, the broken leg, the scars on his chest, from the electrical shock that was administered by a stun gun. King, a convicted robber out on parole, said he never resisted police, but they hit him anyway.
They struck me across the face. After they shot me the first time, they paused for a minute. Then they struck me across the face real hard with a billy club after I was laying face down with my hands tied.
The police say King was stopped after a high-speed chase on the freeway that he ignored their orders and tried to evade arrest. King denies those allegations and claims he cooperated fully, only once trying to escape more shocks and beatings from the police batons, finally giving in.
Well, it hurt real bad. I was scared for my life.
King and his family say the issue in this case is not race. It is police brutality. The officers alleged to have committed that violation have been taken off the street until an internal investigation is completed. Jerry Bowen, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Overseas, the dollar is lower. London gold is down $2.50 at $366.25 an ounce. On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials are ahead 8.41 at 2981.68. It's 7:10.